There'll be a number of scriptures that you'll be able to see coming up on the screen, so I don't have any one particular place to point you. So we welcome back some travelers. You know, happy to have you back and that sort of thing. So you came at the right day because, you know, I started out preaching this year thinking I was going to preach one sermon on prayer, and we're into number six. And I'll have one more, you know, in April. I'll give you dates, you know, one more in April on this. But I thought it would be important today to sort of wrap some of these things together because, you know, when you do all these sermons and throw a lot at you, you know, sometimes it's hard to put the pieces together. And hopefully, you know, what I do here today sort of pulls it together a little bit into one place and organizes it and that sort of thing. So we're talking about effective prayer. I mean, we could be talking about prayer for a lot of sermons, but we're talking about effective prayer, prayer that gets things done, you know, prayer that accomplishes much, as James would say. And so I thought I would remind us of some of the promises that are in prayer. And so we have, very simply from Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, asking, it shall be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. I don't know how much more plain Jesus could be. I don't know how much more straightforward he could be. And to say, those that ask, receive. Those who seek, you'll find. And if you're knocking on my door, it's open. We just have to believe it. Just have to know it. At some point in our life, that it's just a flat-out promise that he makes. And then we have, I'll talk about this more the next time. Then we have the scripture that we can talk about a lot in Bible study and whatever, and I would say to you, you should memorize all these scriptures. Write them down, memorize all of them, but have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and be moved into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. It will be done, it will be yours. I know we struggle with this one. But Jesus didn't qualify it, except with have faith in God, which we'll get to that. But it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome scripture when it comes to prayer and the power of it. And what prayer can accomplish when you think about it. And then this one of my favorite scriptures, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name. I don't know what your thinking is about whatever, but whatever to me is whatever. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. If you say to this mountain, be taken up and be moved into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, it will be done. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Obviously, it's not me talking here, it's him. Oh, please, don't do that to me. Why isn't it not working now, Sam? Beloved, this is from 1 John. We looked at the scripture. Beloved, if our this is our confidence, that if we There's one before that. Come on. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. I didn't say it. You see it for yourself. Wonderful promises. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything, this was our last sermon, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. We are dealing here in all these scriptures in the realm of our desires, our requests, our plans, our petitions, because these are things that we're asking about. Their plans, their petitions, their requests. And we looked at this scripture, may He, from Psalm, may He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May the Lord fulfill your petitions. We talked about this. I mean, if we're going to offer them up, and He says, you just ask, whatever you ask, well, that would be my plans, my dreams, my goals, my petitions, which are a little bit more thought out, and that sort of thing. I'm expecting that He'll do it. That's what He says. It's okay to entertain our plans and our goals and dreams and petitions. It's okay. We talked about that. It's a part of our nature. It's a part of being created like Him, that we would have a mind to think and to plan and to desire and to create. We're like Him. It's okay. And I used this last week from Andrew Murray with Christ in the School of Prayer. As God's representative, you don't have to accept, He's not Jesus, but I like what He says. As God's representative, man was to have ruled. Well, I can find support for that right back in Genesis chapter 1 or Psalm 8. I can find support for that statement. Everything was to have been done according to His will, not His will. Our will. On His advice and at His request, heaven was to have bestowed its blessing on earth. His prayer was to have been the natural channel through which the Lord in heaven and man as Lord of this world communicated. He put us in charge. As you may have heard me say, you know, before, that the life around us, we're largely responsible for it. What our world is, what our environment is, what the thinking is, what people carry out in their life, what we carry out in our life, we're largely responsible for all of that. Because He placed us here and said, this is, as you know, as opposed to what I hear on Christian radio, this is our home. He gave this to us as our home to do something with it. So I have no fuss with Andrew Murray. He said he writes better than me. You know, I wish I was Andrew Murray. I could write better and that sort of thing. What we've said in this series of sermons is that we're not unlike the people that we celebrate in the Bible. You name anybody, Elijah, Samuel, Abraham, Paul, Elisha. We're not unlike them. Elijah, James says, was a man like us. He's just like us. And I have said that not only are we not unlike them, we actually are endowed with much more than what they had. And yet we celebrate what they accomplished through prayer and their relationship to God. And we had a sermon where we talked about the characteristics of these people. These were people in pursuit of something specific. When they spoke or when they prayed, it was very specific. It wasn't some vague, broad prayer. That you could tell if it was answered. Am I right? You could tell. You could tell if Elijah's prayer is answered. You could tell if Abraham's prayer is answered concerning Lot. You can tell. They were very specific in what they were requesting. But these were all people seeking a relationship to God. I don't know if I put this scripture up. Yeah, if anyone's will is to do his will. We looked at this last week. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. Really, what's involved here is our willingness. Anyone willing to do his will. God's will. You can be confident in your life in regard. These were people who were seeking to live under his rule in their life. And this is just simply placing ourselves under the rule of God. We are people who live with plans and desires and goals and petitions, and we submit those to a loving Father. And we talk about a loving Father, and he is a loving Father who desires our good. We sing about it, that, you know, he is good, he is good. He's running after us. He is good. And we have Jesus saying, I want you to have a life, and that more abundantly. And we have the scriptures where God desires that we enjoy life. He's a loving Father. Isn't that what we want for our children? He's just like us. That's what we work for in the life of our children. He's no different. And he has manifested his will to us in every category of life that you would think of. That it's not hard to know what his will is. The psalmist said, you have made known to me the path of life. Or Solomon says in Proverbs, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that I watch today, that shines brighter and brighter until clear day. We're not living in confusion. We have a path that God has made known his way of life. And it should be brighter and brighter as we're growing. It should just get brighter. I mean, I wish it would have been brighter for me 50 years ago when I first came here. You know, that would have been great. You know, although I appreciate everybody back in those days, wow. I was thinking today, actually, you know, the beautiful people that I've met in this church. There was a day when I first was here. These were my greatest days. Those 6 years, you know, that I first started here were great days. I mean, we had McDonald's and Van Sices and Wonderlix and Woods, and humans were already here and brought on Rick. I mean, that was a church. They were great days. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. You know, this is all contrary to the lies of Satan that says that God wants to rob us of life. That's completely opposite of what people think. People think that to become a Christian is to have your life suffocated. That's not what we're taught. That's not what God's desire is. That's not what his will is. His will is the total opposite of that life. So we are people that are living under the guidance of a loving Father who has given us this home where we have plans and desires of our heart and petitions and this sort of thing. But having come under the rule of God, we also have a desire for his kingdom. that we were outside of, but we were brought into. And there is that desire for his kingdom. And again, I remind you of Murray, who writes better than me, what sin destroyed, grace restored. What the first Adam lost, the second has won back. In Christ, man regains his original position. And the church, abiding in Christ, inherits the promise, ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. Church of the living God, your calling is higher and holier than you know. God wants to rule the world through your members. He wants you to be his king and priest. Your prayers can bestow and withhold the blessings of heaven. Do you believe that? I mean, this is power. We're partners in his kingdom. He wants to know what we think, what we want, what we see. You know, what sin destroyed, grace restored. We're to be back to our original position. So, that's just great stuff, is it not? I mean, we're not making anything up here. It's just great. But this is an intriguing scripture for me. There's a key component here. This is toward the end of Hebrews that you're going to study. Now may the God of, and I would suggest you, all these scriptures, I'd suggest you get them put to memory. I do. They got to get in there. But now may the God of peace, who brought back again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good. See, God's already working to make this happen, so that you may do his will. So we got his help in doing his will. Working in us, he's working in us, that which is pleasing in his sight. I mean, you know, we know that we want to do his will. We're willing to do his will. That's a part of being confident that you have what you ask for. And he's doing that, and if being pleasing to him is a condition, he's working that we would be pleasing to him even. I mean, what more could you ask for? But here it is, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Here it is, a key component, through Jesus Christ, in whom be glory forever and ever. Think about that statement for a moment. I would suggest to you, there's an interesting study, if you go through your concordance or however you find words, that you type in through Jesus Christ, and look at all the New Testament scriptures that talk about what we have through Jesus Christ. There's a lot there. Righteousness through Jesus. And I can't get off. So here he says all of this God is doing, through Jesus Christ. God is working. Isn't that interesting? God is working through Jesus. So Jesus said to his disciples, all authority has been given to me. Jesus has it all. He has it all. He says, all authority, heaven, earth, it's all mine. All authority is mine. And so, as my representatives, you, as you go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I'm going to be with you. I'll be with you the whole way. Because God is working through me, and you're working through me. It's all in Him. All of it. Key component. All of it in Him. So He taught His disciples, did He not, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, there's a good place to start with all these promises and all this wonder that we have and all this power. You know, it's a great suggestion, is it not, when we get up in the beginning of the day, even if you only have a few minutes, to recognize, Jesus, apart from you today, I can do nothing. I need you. Because it all works through you. My whole life works through you. My whole day and whatever is before me works through you. Because God's working through you. And I am too with that. But that's John 15. But then he goes on to say, and I'm having a hard time reading that, so I'm going to do this. So then he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, what does he ask? What? You tell me. Ask what? Whatever you wish. And what will happen? I didn't say it. Ron did. By this my Father is glorified. God wants to be glorified in whatever we ask. You know, it's a part of, you know, our life and what we become and what we are and the splendor that we display in whatever. You know, it's like, look at these people. They're my glory. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Abide in my love, keep my commandments, keep my word. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy can be what? Oh, man. I mean, I wrote it down here. Love, joy, faithfulness. I mean, that's a God that wants us to be his glory. People that are just full of love and we're full of joy. And I mean, we're fruitful in our life. And it's just unmistakable that we're living a little bit higher edge than everybody else around us. That there's a manifest glory that's happening in our life. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Well, I'm going to ask that those things happen. Gee, Lord, I want to be glorified. Make me live a little bit above what the mediocre is in our life around us. May your people stand out. May it be unmistakable. Oh, Murray again. Although sin has for a time frustrated God's plans, prayer still remains what it would have been if man had never fallen. The proof of man's godlikeness, the vehicle of his communication with the Father, and the power that is allowed to hold the hands that holds the destinies of the universe. Man is of divine origin, created for capable of possessing kingdom-like liberty. His prayer is not merely a cry for mercy. It is the greatest execution of his will. You know, it is a matter that through prayer, we're trying to get something done. We're trying to get something done. that is fruitful, that brings glory to the Father because of that manifest glory that happens to us because we are people of love and joy and fruit. And we're just flourishing in our life. Wow, I love it. Prayer remains what it would have been if man had never fallen. You go back to Adam and Eve, and they were to construct something of that world. They had direct communication with God. They could call upon the resources of heaven and bring the resources of heaven to bear upon the work that they were doing, whatever that would be. And you know, you'll see this. I got to move on. You'll see this too. What are we going to be doing in heaven? I'm telling you right now, we're not going to be strumming on a harp and sitting there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We weren't created that way. That's not how we're created. I can't get off from that. Through Jesus or in my name. You know, if we go to God in the name of Jesus, we go in his power and in his authority. And I mean, it is pretty awesome that Jesus would entrust us with his honor and with his interest. That if we are people that wear his name and he says, you come to me in my name, we're coming with his honor and his interest, and he entrusts that to us. Why would we ask for anything that would dishonor him? That doesn't make sense, right? So he can say to us, whatever you ask, I will do through Jesus, in his name, the all-inclusive condition. And I think I have another scripture here. No, I don't. Was that it? That was it. So whatever you wish, it will be done. I thought I had that scripture up there. Do I have 17:17? Let me give it to you. John 17:7. I'm sorry. Where he says, I really messed up. I'm sorry. But he says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Let's think about this for a moment. I'm going to be 5 minutes late getting you out. In all of our relationships with God, the promise and the conditions are inseparable. That if you abide in me, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. You understand what I'm saying? There's the promise and there's the condition. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. If you love, ask whatever you wish. So there's the promise and there's the condition, and it's inseparable. And this is where we get tripped up. This is exactly where it all falls apart for us. Because there is a discrepancy that Christians experience between the promise and the experience of answered prayer. There's a promise, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. But there is this discrepancy between that and the actual, that it was fulfilled. You understand what I'm saying? That's our, that's what we encounter. And the cause of that has to be either we do not fulfill the condition or God doesn't fulfill his promise. And we can't accept that because it just, we feel like we're fulfilling the condition and we desire to and whatever. And so that doesn't make, but God, we can't ever accept that God doesn't fulfill the promise. And we wonder what's going on here. And so we have to explain, you know, why we didn't get what we asked for. Because either God doesn't fulfill his promise, and we think we're fulfilling the condition and we're confident of that, why don't we get what we asked for? And what do we do? I'm going to ask you, what do we do to fix that? What do we generally do to fix that? What's that? How do we, yeah, you're close. How do we explain it away? That wasn't God's will. She's exactly right. She's an excellent student. That's how we explain it away. Did Jesus ever say that? He never gave that as a condition. Ever. And so we live our whole life with unanswered prayer. I'm seven. How old am I now, Jennifer? I'm going to be 72. Is that what I'm going to be? I'll be 72, and I'm still trying to figure this out, and I'm angry at myself. I'm unhappy with myself. We put that qualifying, and Jennifer got it, if it's God's will, and Jesus didn't put that there. And that's how we maintain the integrity of God and our integrity. And still we have prayer that doesn't get anything done. I can't accept it any longer in my life. I've walked you through this because I'm going through it. You're going through it with me. And I'm going to get it resolved before I'm 100. See, I'm going to 100, Jennifer. I'm going to get it done. Before I have 100, and it all seems to fall apart with this abiding in Christ. Because there it all, you know, it's really, you abide in me. My words abide in you. It all falls apart there. It's where the confidence fails, it seems to me. And we know that confidence is related to receiving the request that we've asked of him. So here's the best I can do for you today as we close. To build the confidence of abiding. This is the best I can give you at the moment. Number one, I would have you be confident and know, as the scripture tells you, and as John tells you in 1 John, that you have an anointing from God. You have the deposit of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're a Christian. You have an anointing from God. You are his, and Christ lives in you. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You have it. Number two, there is a secret place, we talked about it, that you can go. And there is a promise in that secret place, that if there's a place, not that you can't pray anywhere, you can, but if you got some things that are really plans and petitions and requests that you've given some attention to, there is a secret place that you can go. You've reserved it, wherever that is for you. And God says, I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there. Just tell me where it is. And so he knows where it is for me every morning. He knows. I know. I'm here. And you can go to that place, and God says, I'll meet you there, and I'll reward you openly. Because you're not out here just flashing it about. I'll reward you. Number three, you know, we are people that do what pleases him. He's working that in our life. We don't have a condemning heart. As I said last week, most of the time, if we have a condemning heart, we've let somebody, whether it's Satan or some other person, whisper something in our ear that's an absolute lie. And we ought to dismiss it. And I told you last week, and I don't say this with pride, I'm telling you, I do not have a condemning heart. I don't. I would lie to you if I told you I did. I didn't say I don't sin. I said I don't have a condemning heart. And if our heart doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God. Number four, quickly, we are people who are willing to do His will. That's where we placed ourselves, voluntarily. You know, and He's working in us to get it done. Number five, we are among the company of people who love Him and keep His commandments. I am. I believe you are. Are you not among a company of people that love Him and keep His commandments? Should that not give you confidence that you're doing what pleases Him? He's helping you do it, and you're among other people who love Him and keep His commandments. And number five, you do have a will of your own. You do. And He grants you the right to have it. He gives you the power to have it. You have the privilege under the love of the Father to have plans and desires and goals and petitions. He gives that to us. Ask whatever you wish. Don't our children do that? Mine did. And lastly, Jesus says quite clearly, if you keep my words, or if you love me, you will keep my words, and my Father will love you, and we will come. We will make our home with you. Oh, man, you can't have it better than that. It's pretty simple. If you love me, just keep my words. My Father will love you, and we will come. And we'll make our home with you. Oh, my gosh, folks. We have so much. So much. And God would have us accomplish much. And He gives us the avenue of prayer to get it done. All we have to do is have the confidence to put it out there. And we'll watch God work to get it done. May the Lord bless you. I have one more sermon after. Bless your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. Thank you.